Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the September 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin with RF Current, news from the world of communications by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR. RNZ inaugurates new 100-kilowatt DRM analog shortwave transmitter. A press release from Radio New Zealand announced that their new Swiss-made 100-kilowatt Ampagon shortwave transmitter, capable of both digital and analog signals, was put into service on August 1st at a cost of $4.4 million. RNZ Pacific broadcasts into the wider Pacific on shortwave 24 hours a day, broadcasting in English and Pacific languages in collaboration with 22 broadcasting partners across the region. In the press release, RNZ Chief Executive Paul Thompson said, "The attraction of the shortwave service is that it delivers our unique voice and content to all parts of the Pacific via a signal which can carry over great distances and achieve good audiences. RNZ Pacific is an essential source of information, especially so during the cyclone season or during a crisis such as the Tonga eruptions." RNZ's transmission engineer specialist Steve White was quoted as saying the project to replace a 34-year-old transmitter at the broadcast site near Taupo had gone smoothly, being on budget and achieved without disruption to service. "We have appreciated the close working relationship with Ampagon for the new transmitter installation," he said. RNZ Pacific manager Moera Tuilepa Taylor said for the past 75 years, RNZ had been broadcasting into the Pacific via the shortwave service. "This marks the next chapter in our proud legacy of sharing all of our unique stories across the Pacific," she said. RFE, RL journalist, part of prisoner swap. On August 1st, the U.S. Agency for Global Media, USAGM, announced that, after more than 9 months in prison, American Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty, RFE-RL, journalist Alsu Kermasheva has been released as part of a large-scale prisoner exchange between the U.S. and Russia. The deal included Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, who was detained by the Kremlin for 16 months. RFERL President and CEO Stephen Kappas said, "Alsu was targeted because she was an American journalist who was simply trying to take care of a family member inside Russia. She did nothing wrong, and certainly did not deserve the unjust treatment and forced separation from her loving family members and colleagues. Alsu's release makes us even more determined to secure the freedom of three other RFERL journalists, cruelly imprisoned in Belarus and German-occupied Crimea. We will not rest until all our unjustly detained journalists are home safe. Journalism is not a crime." FCC denies Weather Alert Radio Network, WARN, LPFM applications. On the FCC low-power FM, LPFM application, it seemed like an ambitious plan. Set up a network of some 200 low-power FM radio stations in locations that stretched from Texas in the western Gulf of Mexico to the mid-Atlantic coast of Virginia, as well as two locations in the U.S. Virgin Islands that would rebroadcast National Weather Service NOAA weather radio bulletins 24/7, receivable on any device capable of tuning the FM band. The applicant was a Florida-based nonprofit called Weather Alert Radio Network Incorporated, WARN, formed August 1, 2023, just 3 months before the FCC would open the filing window for a new round of low-power FM, LPFM, radio station licenses. According to papers filed with the Florida Department of State, Division of Corporations, three individuals, two from Tampa, Florida, and one from New Hampshire, were the principal officers, each having 1/3 percentage of the total assets of the corporation and all being U.S. citizens. The three are also members of Audio Ventures LLC, a Washington, D.C.-based for-profit company, which, according to their website, offers audio strategy, planning, and execution in broadcasting, podcasting, streaming, ad agencies, and on-demand audio. The three individuals on the Audio Ventures team list decades of experience in radio, TV broadcasting, marketing, and related services. Warren stated in the LPFM application, "The public safety purpose of the Weather Alert Radio Network, a non-governmental, non-profit organization, is to further distribute up-to-date current weather forecasts, extreme weather information, and other local storm-related information from trusted sources, National Weather Service and National Hurricane Center, state and county emergency management agencies, through distribution platforms the public uses most often, including this proposed LPFM radio station." Warren noted in the application, "During an extreme emergency event where an evacuation is declared, many evacuees may only have access to broadcast terrestrial radio via their car radio if power and internet services are disrupted, or the impacted individuals are in transit in an effort to escape the disaster zone. It was an audacious plan as well, because normally the FCC doesn't allow LPFM applicants to apply for more than one license, let alone 200. On February 23rd of this year, the FCC issued a letter order dismissing the applications, stating that they found that the service Warren proposed did not qualify as a public safety radio service, as that term is defined, in sections of the Communications Act of 1934. Further, while the Commission generally prohibits an entity from holding an attributable interest in more than one LPFM station, Warren sought to rely on an exception to the general prohibition, which allows not-for-profit organizations and governmental entities with a public safety purpose to be granted multiple licenses if, one of the multiple applications is submitted as a priority application, and two, the remaining non-priority applications do not face a mutually exclusive challenge. In March of this year, Warren filed petitions for reconsideration on many but not all of the dismissed applications. On July 30th, the FCC denied the petition for reconsideration, concluding that "we are unpersuaded by Warren's argument that it demonstrated it had jurisdiction through a mountain of communication, implied contracts, verbal agreements, authorizations, and communications by public safety agencies to disseminate critical weather information to the public via its RSS feed system, non-broadcast, and through its proposed LPFM radio network." Warren did not submit any of the materials with the petition. Instead, Warren repeated its statement that it would provide the materials if requested to do so. Because Warren's assertions about communications, implied contracts, verbal agreements, and authorizations remain unsubstantiated, we continue to afford them no weight. Finally, to the extent that Warren emphasizes that various public safety organizations are willing to work with it, we find that a willingness to work or cooperate with Warren is not enough to satisfy the jurisdiction requirement. We note that all that these public safety organizations appear to be doing is providing Warren with access to information that is available to all members of the public through other sources. Emailed questions directed to the contact listed on the Warren LPFM application regarding the future of Warren have not been responded to as of the date of this publication. Edison Research, 13 to 22-year-olds have infinite choices. In a press release from July 31st, Edison Research looked at 10 years of their Share of Ear project. In 2014, when we at Edison Research started our Share of Ear study, children aged 3 to 12 in the U.S. were just below the age threshold for our survey. This group has spent the last decade exploring an audio world of infinite choices with their own fascinations and enthusiasms. As Share of Ear turns 10 years old, yesterday's children are now teenagers and young adults, age 13 to 22. And in this group, born at the dawn of this century, between 2002 and 2011, give us a peek into what the future audio consumption might look like. Share of Ear is a quarterly audio listening survey measuring respondents' audio listening during a 24-hour period. AM/FM radio listening came in at number 3 at 20%. Behind number 2, music videos on YouTube, 23%. And number 1, streaming music, 37%. Podcasts ranked 4th with this age group at 7%. SiriusXM satellite radio ranked 5th at 5%. And all other media combined make up 8%. What's interesting about the survey is what happened between this most recent survey and one from the fourth quarter of 2023. AM/FM listening fell from 36% to 20%, while YouTube music video listening rose from 14% to 23%, with streaming music rising from 20% to 37%. Dramatic shifts in a very short time. A second 10-year review released July 30th, this time including all age groups, found that AM/FM radio listening by all age groups over 13 years of age fell from 51% in 2014 to 36% in 2024. Owned music, purchased CDs, MP3 digital downloads, for example, fell from 18% to 6%. Streaming music, Spotify, Pandora, jumped from 11% to 20%. YouTube listening jumped from 5% to 14%. Other TV music channels fell from 5% to 2%. Podcast listening jumped from 2% to 10%. Audiobooks, which didn't register in 2014, make up 3%. SiriusXM, considered a platform for an older demographic, moved up from 7% to 8%. Xperi reports $30 million loss in the second quarter. Xperi, which owns the following brands, TiVo, over-the-air TV and streaming digital recording systems, IMAX, high-resolution movies, DTS, immersive audio solutions, and HD Radio, FCC-approved digital AM/FM broadcast standard, released its second quarterly statement August 5th. The company's CEO gave this rosy assessment in the second quarter report. Our Q2 progress is a clear example of the positive effects of our continued business transformation efforts. We delivered solid financial results with improved profitability, while continuing to execute on our strategic growth initiatives. Even so, the literal bottom line in the Q2 statement showed a net loss of just over $30 million, with a net loss for this year at $44 million. It's true that the company is losing less than it did a year ago, but is that enough progress to cause investors to celebrate? Let's see how investors feel. It turns out that investors are not happy. Xperi stock has not fared well this year, or in fact over the last 2 years. Xperi peaked at $26 per share in September 2022. Since then, the stock has been on a steady slide, with shares in the second week of August trading at $8.64 each. During this same 2-year period, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose over 10,000 points. The company appears to be pinning its future financial hopes on what is loosely termed the connected car through its DTS AutoStage broadcaster portal, a scheme to leverage data harvested through vehicles equipped with DTS technology into an advertising revenue stream. But consumers are considerably ahead of auto manufacturers by utilizing in-dash Bluetooth connectivity with smartphone apps of their choice. Vancouver, Canada loses its traffic voice. An article August 2nd in Simon Fraser University's SFU student newspaper, The Peak, reports that CKGO AM 730, the 24/7 all-traffic radio station in Vancouver, Canada, quietly ceased operations on June 26. According to the article, the station's owner, Chorus Entertainment, described on its website as owning 39 radio stations that represent some of the most listened to in Canada, located in top markets, told the Vancouver Sun, "We have made the difficult decision to reduce our AM radio programming in Vancouver and Edmonton. As a result, certain roles have been impacted." Former CKGO listeners were advised to tune into CKNW AM 980, a 24/7 news talker also in Vancouver. The Peak news story noted, "Radio stations, specifically those that broadcast on AM frequencies, are increasingly rare in Vancouver, with three shutting down in recent years. AM 730 joins AM 1040 and AM 1410, which were taken off air last year by Bell Media. There are now only seven active AM radio stations serving Metro Vancouver." WCBS becomes WHSQ as NYC's all-news giant flips to ESPN Sports. According to an announcement from radio conglomerate Odyssey, WCBS 880 New York City, which began the all-news format in August 1967, flipped to ESPN New York with the new call letters WHSQ on August 26. Odyssey stated that the station will continue to broadcast New York Mets baseball games exclusively on 880 for the years ahead. The company noted, WCBS 880's former rival and current sister station, 1010 WINS, will continue its longtime role as a 24/7 all-news station serving the New York market. And now the shortwave listener by Fred Waterer, programming underscore matters at yahoo.ca. September on shortwave. Welcome to the September edition of the Shortwave Listener. This month we will visit Spain, New Zealand, Canada, the UK, and other exotic locales. We also have a bumper crop of information on upcoming programs in September. Nashville, Babylon. Nashville, Babylon is one of many hidden jewels on the Radio New Zealand schedule. It can currently be heard at 0600 UTC on 9700 kHz or online at rnz.co.nz. Mark Rogers' love affair with all things country started at an early age thanks to his grandfather's collection of Marty Robbins and Johnny Cash cassettes. In later life, he became one of the co-founders of Loose Music, one of Europe's premier indie music labels, responsible for releases from The Handsome Family, The Felice Brothers, and Necco Case. In addition, he has worked with artists such as Emmylou Harris, Joan Baez, and Jackson Browne, and has helped promote New Zealand tours from Kitty, Daisy, and Lewis, C.W. Stone King, and Pokey Lafarge. Many of these will feature on Nashville Babylon, a show dedicated to the very best in Americana, alt-country, and blues. Nashville Babylon is an eclectic mix of music and quite enjoyable. Mark Rogers knows his stuff, and despite the name, this program is far more than country. In a recent edition, artists included Graham Parsons, Dion, T-Rex, Santana, Daddy Long Legs, Nancy Sinatra, and several more. What a show! Texas Radio Shortwave. We're still testing to North America on channel 292. We're looking at a second 9,670 kHz transmission to the western U.S. and Canada, using a different beam heading from Rohrbach. We may add a broadcast beginning in September. If we do, it'll probably be at 0300 UTC on September 8th, and our show will feature an hour of music from Texan Stephen Stills. Bill Tilford Productions. Here's what FTIOM and UBMP will look like for September. On September 14th, From the Isle of Music will feature music from the academic music categories, symphonic and chamber and concert soloists, of Cuba Disco 2024. On September 21st, Uncle Bill's Melting Pot will have special guest Julio Cesar Pereira of Brazil, giving us a taste of the very distinct musical styles of the Brazilian state of Santa Catarina. Times and frequencies for both programs, 1700 to 1800 UTC, 9,670 kHz, with beam EF towards South Asia, but very listenable in most of Europe and parts of Eurasia and North Africa. 1900 to 2000 UTC, 3,955 and 6,070 kHz, omnidirectional for Europe and beyond. 2300 to 2400 UTC, 9,670 kHz with beam P towards the Caribbean, but listenable in other parts of the Americas, Europe, and parts of North Africa. BBC Proms continue. Over the first few weeks of September, the BBC Proms continue. Every prom at the Royal Albert Hall and around the UK will be broadcast on BBC Radio 3 and BBC Sounds, with selected proms also broadcast on BBC Radio 2, BBC Radio 1, and BBC Radio 6 Music. Some programming will be on the World Service. For instance, BBC Proms 2024, Dances with the Kana Masons. This wide-ranging selection of folk dances, classical miniatures, and pop tunes showcases the close links between music and the human impulse to dance. Brothers Brema and Sheku Kana Mason and the Brazilian guitarist Plinio Fernandez are joined by the Fantasia Orchestra, which makes its prom debut under its founder, Tom Featherstonehow. Andrew McGregor and former dancer and music consultant Kenneth Tharp introduced this concert from the Royal Albert Hall in London. BBC World Service, Saturday, August 24th. Check out the full schedule on the official BBC Proms website, bbc.co.uk/proms. Canadian Content Radio. Thanks to CCR host Sean Welsh, who sends details of September's episodes. September 5th. It will be a show based on something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. New versions of old songs and stolen riffs and other oddities. September 19th. All requests. Sean is busy digitizing a backlog of requests from his vast vinyl collection. Canadian Content Radio is heard every week at 0100 UTC Fridays, local Thursdays in North America. Pop Shop Radio. I recently did a very unscientific survey on social media, asking what people were listening to. A few mentioned this program out of British Columbia, heard via WRMI. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.